presence of God, because it makes all of the difference. I may be a little bit out of character this morning for you. Being Mother's Day, I tried to give honor where honor is due. And it's going to sound a little bit unusual to you as a scripture for Mother's Day. You don't have to stand because it's too short. By the time you stand up, you sit right down. A little bit unusual as a scripture on Mother's Day, and it's going to take me a minute to get to the scripture. But if you'll give me your attention, I believe God will speak to you. I'm going to read one three-word verse in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. And I'm pretty sure that you have never heard this on Mother's Day. Luke chapter 17 and verse 32 says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. I know that seems unusual, but that's what the scripture says. Remember Lot's wife. I will get to the scripture, but bear with me. The only thing that I ever wanted to be as a little girl was a mother. It was a beautiful dream that I had as a little girl, just to be a mom. And I had to wait a long time, longer than I would have ever imagined, to become a mother. There are two things that I didn't know about being a mother. First, I did not know how challenging it would be to be a mother. The dream of the little girl didn't know that being a mama meant that you would never sleep again. And the second thing that I did not know about being a mother was how rewarding it would be to be a mom. It can be so rewarding and so filled with love that I know, men, you're here, and I'm not trying to leave you out or exclude you, but it is Mother's Day. It can be so rewarding and so filled with love that you can find yourself like I did one time reading a bedtime story to Logan. And I was so filled with love for my child that I cried all the way through dumping the dump track in his pals. At the same time, I've discovered that being a mother is one of the most selfless roles on this earth, especially when your children are small and they rely on you for everything. Being a mom has meant that I don't sleep good. I don't sit down and eat at my leisure. I don't drink my coffee while it's still hot. In fact, part of my cup is still sitting on the table at home because I didn't have time to finish it this morning. I don't clean up or fix my hair at times when I really needed to. I don't walk out the door without five things at least hanging off of me or in my hands. I could go on and on with a list of all of the things that you selflessly give up in order to ensure that your child lives through the day without choking on anything or falling and hitting their head like mine did over the weekend, or smashing their fingers in a drawer that they managed to get open, or finding the smallest thing on the floor and putting it in their mouth. Becoming a mother has given me a new admiration for my own mother, because apparently, and I know this is going to be hard for some of you to believe, my mother says that I did not sleep. You know, Pastor, you said your mama said she hoped you had a child just like you. Wow, I think my mother prayed that. My mother says that I didn't sleep, that I would let no one else hold me until I was at least 2 years old. And she says that if I had been her first child, I would have been an only child. And that used to hurt my feelings a lot. She would say that to me, and I would say, Mom, that's so mean, but now I get it. And there's one of my children that if I had had him first, I would have one child. God commands us to honor our father and mother. That is in God's list of 10 things that we are to do. So I give honor to my mom this morning for selflessly raising me, even though I was a challenge, especially those first few years. Being a mom has been challenging, but being a mom is beautiful. It means that you get to teach your babies how to pray, how to sing, how to clap, do what is right. You get to laugh and giggle at their silly antics. My husband said over the weekend that we went to Lowe's, so we were doing some landscaping, and he said that he told Pierce, he told the boys, I need your attention, boys. Okay, Dad. He said, listen to me. We're going in the store. I don't need you running off. I don't need you going nuts in the store. I need you to stick close to me because if you don't pay attention to your surroundings, somebody can grab you and take off with you. And Pierce, the three-year-old, said, that's what I was thinking. 3 years old, so he was on track. That's what I was thinking, Dad. You need to stick close. You get to smile at their first attempts at something new. You're the one, Mama, you're the one, even if Dad's sitting right there, you're the one that they run to if there's a cut or a splinter or a remotely imagined one. You get to be the center of those kids' world. Mom knows where the socks, the shoes, and the juice cups are. Mom knows where the Band-Aids are, and they'll give you one even if you don't need it. Mom will kiss the bottom of your stinky foot even if there is no wound on it. Mom can interpret the mumbo-jumbo of their little ones trying to talk when nobody else can understand what they're saying. I can only relate to you of being a mom of little kids. I don't know yet what it's like to have grown children or children that have moved out or on their own, but many of you do. And you find yourself remembering the things that I am currently living, but yet your season has changed to a different one. Inside the heart of every mother that's in this room is like a photo album of memories and hard lessons and glorious victories, ordinary days, glaring failures that are in your face, and God's grace over all of the years that you have been a mother. And the most expensive work that you will ever complete will be among the ordinary people that you know the best and you love the best. I've got a saying on my wall in my kitchen. It reminds me every day, a picture. And it says, the most important work that you will ever do will be in the walls of your own home. I know that the majority of you have children who are grown, but for those of us who have little ones, every song that you choose to sing in the middle of a pile of Legos, while macaroni and cheese is stuck to the kitchen cabinet, and a little one is clinging to your leg, every song that you pray, every prayer that you pray becomes an anthem in heaven's ears. I believe it. And I can promise you that that child is listening. They're listening. What you do has power, Mom. I'm talking to you this morning about the power of a mother. My middle child has been going through a challenging phase of not listening. I know yours probably never did that, but mine is. And so a few days ago, I gave that middle child one of those ultimatums. I said, if you do, I'm going to. And so he did end up doing that particular thing again. And I waited until I was not irritated. I gave him a bath, even though I knew I was going to have to. I washed the mud and the dirt off his face because we played outside. I cleaned him up. I went downstairs. And when he came down from getting dressed, I said, all right, I need you to come with me to my room. He knew it was time to face the music with Mom. We had a talk, and I did what I promised him I would do. And then I stood him on the bed, and I looked him in the face. I looked my adorable little big brown-eyed boy in the face. And tears were running down my face. Some streams. And suddenly, those tears of Mama had a profound effect on the heart of my child. The correction didn't faze him as much as Mama's tears did. He stared in my face. He watched the tears rolling down my cheeks, and he started scrunching up his face and his eyebrows, and then he started to cry. I let him see my tears. I let him feel this mama's heart. And he understood it. And ever since that moment, I took him, I carried him back in the kitchen, I sat him down in the chair. He was not interested in eating. He would turn around everywhere I went in that kitchen, and he would look over that chair at mama and watch me go through that kitchen. He understood the heart of mom. He understood that the tears of mom were for his good, for his benefit. And ever since then, he changed his tune. I know moms cry a lot of tears that those kids of yours will never see. But there is somebody, mama, who does see every one of them. Mom, every prayer that you've prayed has been heard. Every desire that you've whispered to the heart of your father is not forgotten, and God is well able to give you the grace that you need for every challenging day and for every mundane day of mothering. It takes a lot to be a mom, a lot of time, a lot of pain, a lot of giving, a lot of sacrifice, and it's all centered around those children. You carry that in your body. You deal with the pain. You go through the labor, and it's all centered around that human being. So it wouldn't be hard for you to believe then, and I'm pulling in Lot's wife, it would not be hard for you to believe then if your whole focus and life and pain is centered around those children, then it wouldn't be hard for you to believe that there are actually mothers who have lost out with God because of their children. You've sacrificed more for those children than for any other human on this earth. And because of the price that you paid for them, a mother's love goes above and beyond. Because you paid a price. Mama just has to make sure, hear me, Mom. Mom has to make sure that the mother's love does not make her lose out on her relationship with God. Just think with me for a few minutes as I endeavor to show you what the Lord put on my heart. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 17 about the time when the rapture takes place. He's in the middle of saying that there will be two in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two will be working at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. And right there in the middle of talking about the rapture, he uses these three words, remember Lot's wife. Why? Why would he say that while talking about the rapture? As you read the chapter, it actually doesn't even seem to fit into the context of the verses that are surrounding it. What do we know about Lot's wife? I know that she wanted to do right because when they were living in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, she did leave the city with her husband. Due to the warning of the angels, we know that she left. We know that she knew what she ought to do, Mama. She knew what she should do because she was headed to the city of Zoar with her husband and two of her daughters. And history says that Lot and his wife had four daughters. Two of them were married, two of them were engaged but not married. We also know that she lingered. And then she turned around. When she did, that was the end of her life. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say anything remotely good about Lot's wife. Have you? Have you heard anybody talk about Lot's wife in a positive connotation? I have never heard it. But as I've thought on this, I've thought about it from the heart of a mother. And I have to think that perhaps her turning around may not have been all out of a rebellious heart who didn't want to do what God said. I don't think that was the basis of that woman turning around. I think the majority of her turning around and looking back at Sodom and Gomorrah was because it was the heart of a mother who still had two children and they were burning in that city. And either way, she is the one that lost out. Think about it. There's not really anything that a mama won't do to protect her kids. Even if her kids are in direct disobedience to the word of God, more often than not, mama will try to help God out. Don't believe me? Listen to this. Sarah, Abraham's wife, chosen by God. receives a promise from God, she tries to help God out. Because she's not getting the promise of a child like she wanted. And we're still reaping today from her suggestion to Abraham that God wanted to give them a son through her handmaiden Hagar. Be careful, Mama. Even if you do know the choosing of God on your own life, be careful how you interpret what God means when he's speaking to you about you or your family or your kids. Rebecca, Isaac's wife, chosen. No one can question the choosing of Rebecca. The miraculous things that took place in Rebecca becoming Isaac's wife is incredible. But as time passes, she progresses away from the choosing and she falls into the same trap of trying to help God out when it came to her children. It was Rebecca that convinced her son Jacob to lie to his blind father and tell him that he was Esau. It was then Rebecca who convinced her son to run away instead of face his father and his brother. Be careful, Mama. Even if you've had a miraculous choosing of God in your own life, be careful how you try to help your children understand the plan of God for their life. Rachel, chosen by God, the chosen one by Jacob, the love of his life. She tries to help herself and her family out by not trusting the God of Jacob and bringing along some of her idols. Some of her father's idols, unfortunately, because of trying to help out with who God was, she did not get to see her children grow up. Be careful, Mama, with the importance that you place on God in your life. If you replace God with some kind of idol, you will not be the only one paying for that choice. Did you hear me? When you replace God with something else that is more important than God, you will not be the only one paying the price for that, but so will everybody in your house. The common denominator in Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, and I'm even going to say Lot's wife, is that the real testing time of life and even the change of faith for them, you hear me, surrounded their children. The testing that they went through surrounded their children. The challenge of their faith surrounded their children. All of them were chosen by God, but all of them were unable to hold on to a strong faith because of their children. I've never noticed this before, but when I did, I began to think about all the mothers that I have personally seen lose out with God after the blessing of children came into their lives. If that is the case, that a mother can lose out on her faith and her trust in God because of trying to protect her children, then it is also true that the faith of a mother has power to move mountains in her children's lives. If it's true that you can lose out with God, then it's true that you can move mountains in your children's life and affect their lives in a way that that child had nothing to do with it. Just as your child had no power over the choice to be born to you or brought into your family, they would have no power over what is born in their life from the faith that you carry as their mama. My son has no power or control. My children has no power, no control over the prayers that I pray concerning him. He has no power over the faith of this mother and the prayers and the life of this mother that can have in his life. He has no power over me getting a hold of God and praying in the Holy Ghost until I see chains break in their life. They have no power over what the Holy Ghost can produce in their life because they have a praying mother. When something is going wrong or unexpected, my heart's cry is that my three children will know that the first response when something goes wrong is, Jesus, help me. Oh God, whenever something happens, I want them to hear their mother saying, Jesus. I don't want them to hear some other explanation. see and hear and feel their mother walking through the house, vacuuming the floor, singing the praises of God. I want them to see, hear, and feel their mother washing the dishes, saying, Lord, I don't know. Many times I'm going down the road, and I'm up there in the driver's seat, and I'm talking to Jesus out loud, and not realizing that my noisy children in the background were listening to everything that I was saying. And all of a sudden, one of them will say, Mama, who are you talking to? Repeatedly they said to me, Mama, what are you saying? Who are you talking to? I'm just talking to Jesus up here. Jesus? I'm talking to Jesus. And I'm talking to him about you. I've told my children when they're acting wrong and I can't seem to break through, I've grabbed their little hand, I lay hands on them, and I have started praying in my living room in the name of Jesus and they go, they freeze because it's no longer stop that, quit that, don't do that, quit that. I said don't do that. If you do that, it's no longer that. There's a much higher authority that just stepped into the room because their Holy Ghost filled mama just said in the name, I've looked at them when I saw that streak of rebellion in their eye and I said in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that from your life. In the name that is higher than the sickness, in the name that is higher than this rebellion, in the name that is higher than your fear, I've laid my hands on them and said, you will not lay here and fear at night because the angels of God are in our house. The Holy Ghost of God is in our house. You do not have to fear because mama and daddy are here and they are full of Jesus. That's what I want my kids to hear. If my kids have the potential to make me lose out with God because of what I see happening, then it also, there is the potential and the propensity for my kids to serve God and walk with God because they had a Holy Ghost-filled mother. What a responsibility that is. What a challenge that is to a mother and to you who are what I would call mothers in Israel. Some of you may not have given birth to a child, but you are mothers in the kingdom of God. You are watching, you are nurturing, you are caring. Your children are not small anymore, but you are mothers in the house of God, and you are caring for those in the body of Christ. What a challenge it is to keep yourself in faith and to keep your heart looking toward God to ensure that your children and the children around you have a heritage to look back on. There are many mothers that I look back on that were not my mother. But when I was a child, I remember one of those mothers in the church named Betty Thompson who would stand up and pray. I would be in the seat in front of her and I would turn around and look up at the pew and I would watch that prayer warrior pray. Are our children going to have the heritage of the mothers? Sometimes life has a way of bringing circumstances that challenge everything you said, everything you believe. But in reality, it's not what goes on around you that gives you trouble. It's what's going on inside of you. You have the power to deal with circumstances around you if you keep them from affecting what's inside of you. Ships don't sink because they go through deep water. Ships don't sink because they go through stormy places. They sink when the storm gets inside the ship. If I can maintain my life in the Holy Ghost and what is in me, then what is in me is always going to be greater than what is around me. Lot's wife, remember Lot's wife, she was a mother. And she would not have been disintegrated into a salty memorial if she had not allowed what was happening around her to consume her internally, to consume her heart. But obviously today she is a testament to one who wanted to do right. She knew what she ought to do, but she did not do it. Is that the kind of mother you are? She wanted to do right. She tried. She knew what she ought to do. But by the end of the thing, that's not what she did. Or are you like the great mother, the woman that the prophet Elijah prophesied would have a son? And after she did, he dies. Can you even imagine what she must have felt? Some of you can. After the miracle that surrounded his birth, this particular mother in the Word of God inspires me. Her boy is dead. He had nothing to do with being born. He was born because of the faith of his mother, who found the man of God. She put him in a room, closed the door, went searching for God. Can you imagine if you bumped into that young man after he had grown up and asked him to tell you his testimony? The only thing that he would be able to say is, I'm alive today because my mama had a faith that brought me back from the dead. How many of you have had a mama who prayed for you and brought you from spiritual death into a place of life? How many of you had a mama who would not let go until they saw God happen in your life? The power of a mother not only has the ability to produce life, but also to sustain it. I'm presenting you with different dynamics of the faith and the power in a mother. One dynamic is Lot's wife, who held on to her own ideas, and she dies while turning around toward the place where her children are being consumed. She loses out with what God said because she stopped running toward the mountain. The other dynamic is that Shunammite woman who has so much faith, so much trust in the God that gave her a child, that she went searching until God brought that child back from the dead. Which one will you be, mama? Which category do you want to fall in? Do you just want to be the mama bear until you are guilty of trying to help God out too much with your kids, that you never allow them to face the truth of God's word in their own lives and become accountable to it? I'm talking to somebody. Your children, no matter how much you love them, are going to stand before God by themselves. You can't stand there. You can't stand there and say, I'm their mama. I'll take up for them. Your babies will have to face the word of God on their own. Mama, don't cover the sin. Mama, don't cover up the sin. Take it to your knees. Take it to the altar. Don't try to hide it just because it's your baby and you paid a price for them. Take it to the one who can change them and bring them back from death to life. You don't want to be the mama bear that's covering them. Don't talk about my kids. Don't touch my kids. If my kids do it wrong, they're going to have to face the word of God. But will you be that mother that has so much faith? So much faith in God to offer the life of that child or the life of that grandchild, that they can't even help it but have dead things come back to life, to a living, breathing realization of faith in God. I've prayed with many different people throughout the years concerning many different things. But one particular time, I remember a mom and a grandma of a young man. They came up to me and they grabbed my hands, weeping. They said, my son, my grandson, he's in jail, he's on drugs, he's wrapped up in the wrong lifestyle, and we are not going to see our child go down this road. We grabbed hands and we started praying, we started interceding, we prayed and we prayed. They had been praying for years already. It wasn't just the faith of one prayer. It was the life of the Holy Ghost standing and saying, I will not allow it. I will not see it. They were weeping. And the prayers of those women, the faith of those women prevailed over the darkness of sin that young man was living in. Those prayers that young man had nothing. to see and to know what your kids are up to, what those grandkids are up to. You ever heard the saying, Mama had eyes in the back of her head? Sometimes I'll be in the kitchen doing something and I'll say, Pierce Alexander, what are you doing? Because I just know he's in something. Well, I'm asking God for the rest of my days, give me spiritual eyes in the back of my head to see and know what my kids are doing. Ask God to show you. Mama, Grandmama, ask God to show you. I don't know how many have the testimony. They said, I was sitting in a bar and I got a phone call. My mama said, get out of that place. You ever heard somebody tell a testimony like that? I was living in sin. I was high on drugs. And I got a phone call from my Holy Ghost-filled praying mama and said, what do you think you're doing? And get out of there right now. I want spiritual eyes in the back of my head. God has given you an insight into your children. Let God lead you. Don't let your children cause you to turn hard like the pillar of salt. Run on, Mom. Run on. Grandma, run. Run hard. Run on. You got one watching you. Let the faith of God be the song that your children hear you singing. Would you stand with me all over this room?